Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick, and it's Monday, the day of the week that we read back some messages from the mailbag. Messages you have sent into our show account, which is, if you've never tried it before, contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. If you got something interesting you want to share, some feedback on an episode, get in touch. Let's see. Rob, you mind if I start off here with this message from Justina?
Go for it.
Okay. This is actually a response to a much older episode, our series on the 7-day week and the origins and effects of grouping days into chunks of seven. So Justina writes, "Hi, Robert and Joe. I'm about 6 months behind on my podcast feed, so I just listened to your 7-day week episodes. When you started musing about what it would be like to live on two different week lengths simultaneously, like some ancient cultures might have done, I heard the call. I know what it's like, and so do millions of school children. I was in the first class in my school district to experience the 6-day cycle. This was back in 1981 to 82, and the idea was new. Instead of having a class schedule that followed Monday to Friday, we now had days A through F. The reasons behind the 6-day cycle were twofold. One, it let the different academic classes happen at different times of day, since we all learn best at different times of day. This way, math class wasn't always period one, and your foggy morning brain wouldn't put you behind for the whole year. Number two, it also made sure classes didn't get shorted or skipped due to holidays. If the last day of school before a break was C day, the first day back would be a D day, regardless of the day of the week. What made the whole experience particularly dual timeline-ish is the fact that the 6-day cycle only applied to our academic classes. Other classes like gym, music, shop, and the like stayed on the old 5-day Monday to Friday schedule. So we were truly living two different weeks simultaneously. What did it feel like? It felt, well, normal. We had a system, we understood the system, and we just followed the schedule. The fact that we might have English before music one week and math the next wasn't a big deal. I imagine the people in ancient cultures living two different cycles also adapted easily. I suspect that the convergence to a single system had more to do with the times two different types of market days overlapped, causing a personnel shortage, rather than confusion about what day it was by the population. These days, school calendars are totally wild. Take, for example, the schedule for my local high school, and she includes some links. They are trying to have classes at different times of day in a balanced way, and also balance the lunch times and other variables. It leads to this madness. But the kids, they do it. They understand it. They master it. So I think living both a 7 and 8 day week would have been a piece of cake. Smiley face. Thanks for making my favorite podcast. All the best, Justina.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about academic calendars, but that's a wonderful example. All right, this next one comes to us from Kenny. Kenny writes in regarding our episode, or was it an episode or episodes on the paragraph?
We did a series, yeah.
Series, yeah. Sometimes it's hard to remember. Sometimes it's hard to remember when we have done an episode that was actually a single episode. A lot of our episodes are multi-part these days. But anyway, Kenny writes in and says, "Dear Rob and Joe, I did not know I would find the invention of the paragraph quite so fascinating. I was even able to answer a pub quiz question on the Pilcrow this week, which was a mighty coincidence given I'd never heard the word before in my life. As per Rob's request, here are some of my favorite opening paragraphs. Some are probably pretty obvious." So Kenny cites the Gunslinger opening from Stephen King. The man in black fled across the desert and the gunslinger followed. We heard from multiple people about this one. This is a great opening. But then here's some other ones that Kenny includes. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole filled with the ends of worms and an oozy smell, nor yet a dry, bare, sandy hole with nothing in it to sit down on or to eat. It was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort. And that of course, is from The Hobbit.
That's a great one.
Here's one. This is one from a book by the name of with the title "The Crow Road" by Ian Banks, who's an author I'm very familiar with, but I have not read this particular book. If I'm remembering correctly, this would be one of the non sci-fi books, because the culture books and so forth are by Ian M. Banks, and Ian Banks is just his what he went by for books that were outside of science fictional concerns. Quote, "It was the day my grandmother exploded. I sat in the crematorium, listening to my Uncle Hamish, quietly snoring in harmony to Bach's Mass in B minor, and I reflected that it always seemed to be death that drew me back to Gallinac." I have no idea where that's going, but that sounds pretty intriguing. Why, the grandmothers are exploding. There's music playing. Gallinac, this sounds very fascinating as well. That sounds like a good one.
That's a good hook.
All right, this one is from a work that I'm not familiar with, Patricia McKillop, Riddle of Stars. Quote, "Morgan of Head met the High One's harpist one autumn day when the trade ships docked at Toll for the season's exchange of goods."
Oh, that's good. The High One's harpist. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We got a nice fantasy or sci-fi sounding name there, a couple of names. There's a trade ships. Sounds
interesting. This is a fantasy novel, yeah.
All right, here's one. I'm going to read it, and some of you may be able to guess the source. "In the beginning, the universe was created. This has made a lot of people very angry and has been widely regarded as a bad move." This is, of course, from Douglas Adams' The Restaurant at the End of the Universe.
Strong entry.
Mm-hmm. And finally, this is from a book I'm familiar with. "Everything starts somewhere, although many physicists disagree." That is from Terry Pratchett's The Hogfather, which is a wonderful Christmas read. And they also made a wonderful TV miniseries or two-part series adaptation of it. It had David Warner in it.
Ah.
Played the head of the Guild of Assassins, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow. I don't know this book or this movie or adaptation, but yeah, David Warner, I'm there.
Anyway, Kenny says, "You'll probably be swamped by these, so I'll stop there. Thanks for all you do."
Good picks, Kenny. Uh, All right. I think we did a Vault episode on sentient swords or swords that talk. And we got a response from Michaela, who writes, "Hi, Robert and Joe. First of all, thank you so much for the work you put into this amazing podcast. I was listening to the Vault episode on sentient weapons, and it reminded me of a few things. One of them is this sentient shield that I had homebrewed." I think this is a D&D reference, right?
Yes.
Okay. "That while very useful, it had an annoying personality. Thinking back, I don't know of any named sentient armor in mythology or in D&D. Magical armor absolutely exists, but not named or sentient in the way weapons tend to be. Perhaps it's harder to ascribe agency to armor, as armor rarely works in unexpected ways that combatants don't directly control. But even then, one might say it was the armor that moved them rather than their instinctual reactions driven by adrenaline in the midst of battle. Any thoughts? Second was one thing that I've been meaning to ask for a while, and it's if you've ever brought something from your research into a homebrew in one of your D&D games. I know I've paused many of your shows to jot down some mythical item or cool, weird, real-life place, creature, or thing that might work in a D&D setting. I'm not sure how I'll fit them all in at this point when I eventually run a game, but I'm very excited to see how players react. Keep up the good work, Michaela."
Well, that's, yeah. So homebrewing, for anyone unfamiliar, this is basically like when you create something for a game and you can homebrew. You may be homebrewing the stats of something. And generally, it's about stats. Like if you're homebrewing a particular magical item or homebrewing a particular creature, that sort of thing.
Like you're saying, like you create a creature for your D&D campaign that does not exist in the monster manual.
Right. Yeah. Which is a rarity, especially now. It's like if they don't have it in there officially, then somebody's probably homebrewed it over the years. And there have been some wonderful like third party publications that have come up with a lot of that stuff. I guess in the past I have done that sort of thing before, but it becomes, I don't know, in my experience, like you sometimes risk running into the situation where you have some sort of idea that you're suddenly really excited to introduce into the role playing, either as a character, as a player, or as a dungeon master. And you can get so excited about that idea, you kind of forget that this is also ultimately about the communal experience, and maybe everyone else doesn't know about this thing and they're not as excited for it. And so it ultimately ends up being something that's mostly just for you. But that being said, of course, there are tons of great ideas in mythology and in history to draw upon. And yeah, I mean, one can't help but do that a bit if you're doing any kind of creative work within a role-playing scenario, either as a player or as a game master.
My favorite one I've heard about was the listener who wrote in to say that they had homebrewed the psychic mind-devouring giant crabs from Attack of the Crab Monsters by combining attributes of, I think, a kind of base giant crab monster with like some mind flayer kind of dynamics.
That's right. That was a good one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it.
brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
All right, this next one comes to us from Troy. Troy writes in and says, "Hi, Robert, Joe, and Seth. Thanks for reviewing Krull in one of your Weird House Cinema episodes. It brought back many memories. As a result of the episode, I shared your podcast with my brother, and he said he liked the episode and will be shopping for a glaive replica on Etsy." All right, well, just be careful. The glaive looks kind of dangerous to handle, so you make sure you check on how sharp it is.
This might be a reaction to the fact that I found glaive fidget spinners on Etsy.
That's great. Anyway, Troy continues. And this is the portion of the email that I referenced in a recent Core episode. Mm-hmm. Troy writes and says, "Robert, you said that you don't consider swimming fun, but I would say it's only a chore if your performance is below your expectation. I find running around the lake near my house very fun and extremely challenging. I am vision impaired and can usually pick out a pedestrian within about 20 to 30 feet. Beyond that distance, it looks like fog. Since I run typically at around a 8:20 minute pace, that's 8:20 pace, it is quite a rush trying to avoid collisions. I carry my white cane folded up and enjoy saying hi to people that I pass. Two laps around the lake is roughly 7 miles, and the run makes me feel accomplished and independent." Oh, that's good. Like I say, there's a lot of fun is inherently subjective. Like I would, me personally, I would say, well, something can make me feel accomplished and independent, but it can also make me, it can also feel like work. So it's, like I say, it varies greatly from individual to individual, but I enjoy hearing these alternate takes on it. Anyway, Troy continues. Troy says, "I think a potential topic down the road would be assistive technology for the blind or disabled in general. I believe you did an episode on prosthetics. My audio screen reader called JAWS enables me to work on the computer literally with my eyes closed." This is a great idea for an episode. Yeah, I know we've talked about prosthetics a little bit. I remember talking about like ancient Egyptian examples of prosthetics. I believe there's a particular toe that's rather ancient. We haven't done a real deep dive into even prosthetics. I don't think, have we?
I don't think we've had a dedicated episode about it, but it's like come up in other contexts. Mm-hmm. But one thing we definitely did is we did an invention episode on Braille.
Kind of
fascinating and surprising history of reading system, touch-based reading systems.
Yeah, So that's a great suggestion. And Troy's not done making great suggestions because he says, last, I wanted to give one movie suggestion for you guys to cover. If it has not already been covered, I recommend The Last Dragon from 1983. This movie fits the fun category of Weird House cinema. The part I love the most is when either character in a fight scene appears to be getting the upper hand, they start emitting a glowing neon color from their teeth. I tried Googling Letterboxd Weird House Cinema and was unable to find the list of past movies. If the above film is not in the list, you may want to check it out. Cheers. Okay, well, first of all, yes, Letterboxd, that's Letterboxd. If you go there, if you look for Weird House, one word, that's our account, should come up. And we only have one list, and that's the list of the episodes. It is there. My apologies if anybody has had trouble finding it. It's also linked off of the blog at samudamusic.com. But in terms of the Last Dragon, yeah, this is one that's been on my radar. In fact, I was talking with you about it just a few weeks back. One of the reasons on my radar is because it was one of the films profiled on the CBC Ideas episode that dealt with cult movies. This is one that they singled out as being a cult film. Despite the fact that I'm remembering correctly, The Last Dragon wasn't a huge financial hit by any means, but it's so distinct. It's like a Motown production, like an epic Motown production with martial arts and fantasy and love and great music. And it's a little unlike anything else you might expect to find.
It looks absolutely magical. I haven't seen it, but I would love to. So this is a romantic martial arts musical produced by Berry Gordy. It's sometimes called Berry Gordy's Last Dragon. Berry Gordy, the music producer, record executive, known, the writer or one of the writers of I Want You Back, classic songs like that.
Yeah. And the founder of the Motown record label. It's true Motown production and, has a pretty great cast and, I haven't watched it in its entirety yet. Weirdly enough, William H. Macy is in it. He has a bit role, but he's in the cast. This one's definitely on the list. It's just kind of week to week what catches our fancy. But I have a feeling we'll get to The Last Dragon at some point here.
All right, this next message is from Casey. Casey says, "Hi, Robert and Joe. Recently, some of my son's friends introduced him to the world of Dungeons and Dragons, and he was asking me to explain dungeons to him. I realized that I really don't know much about them. From the movies, I've learned that a dungeon is basically a basement of a castle that functions as a jail or torture chamber, or where one might find the occasional potions classroom or Slytherin common room. I thought the history and usage of real dungeons versus their depiction in pop culture might be a good subject for you to cover on your show, in the same vein as your Cauldron episodes. My son would also like to suggest that you cover the Beholder or the Gelatinous Cube on a Monster Fact episode. On a different note, I was unfamiliar with the giallo genre until I heard you talk about it on your show." Giallo movies are, of course, these violent, seedy, Italian murder mystery thrillers from the 70s. There's some great giallo highlights, or like the movies of Dario Argento, like Deep Red and stuff. Anyway, Casey continues, so finding out about the giallo genre, my mind immediately plugged it into the tune of Shallow from A Star Is Born. Oh, Casey, you have done violence to my brain by doing this to me. So Casey says, "I know I regularly find myself singing in the giallo, in the giallo. We're far from the giallos now. I just thought I'd give you that little earworm on my way out. Thanks for all the wonderful content, Casey." Casey, this is a crime you have committed, that you did this to me, that you did this to Robert and Seth, and now you've done it to every listener to this show. Absolutely atrocious.
Actually, I'm immune because I've seen neither version of A Star Is Born, and I don't think I'm familiar with this song. So,
so this is from the most recent one, the one with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, I saw a couple of years ago. Actually, I thought it was great. And this song is indeed, it's great pop melodrama. It's, it'll get in you.
I didn't see it. It looked kind of like it might be a downer. So I skipped it.
Oh, yeah, it kind of is. But it's also, I don't know. I thought it was good.
Whistler's not in it, though, right?
No. Oh, he's in the one from the 70s, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson.
Right. Sam Elliott's in the new one, though, right?
Yes. Sam Elliott, okay. I think, plays Bradley Cooper's brother, maybe? Is that right?
That sounds right. Like, yeah, it's like he's like a much older brother, right?
Yeah.
And he's kind of his manager.
Or something, yeah. But it's got great music. It's full of emotion. It's all that stuff.
All right. It does not have an unknown assailant going around killing people with their hands.
It does not have like a needle killer who wears a trench coat and a hat.
Now, of course, there are Giallo musicals, though. Or at least there's...
Really?
Fulci did one in particular. There's the 1984 movie Murder Rock, Dancing Death, which I have not seen. But, it has Claudio Castagnelli's in it. So, that tells you something. It has music. It has stabbings. Everything you could possibly want out of a Lucio Fulci musical.
I don't even know what to say about that.
All right. We're going to go ahead and call it right there. But we thank everybody who wrote in for this episode. And yeah, in general, we should remind everyone, we read all the emails that come in. We don't have time to respond to everybody via email. And we don't have time to even use all of the emails on the show. But we greatly appreciate all the feedback. So keep it coming. If you have comments on recent episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, future episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, episodes of Weird House, Artifact, Monster Fact, other listener mail episodes, all of it is fair game. So write in. We'd love to hear from you.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hello there, I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.